Another fast and furious bankruptcy for the auto industry.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. General Motors filed for Chapter 11 just over a month ago. And last night, a federal bankruptcy judge gave GM's restructuring plan the green light. Under the plan, GM would sell its best assets, including Cadillac and Chevrolet, to a new company, mostly owned by Uncle Sam. Doug Bernstein is a bankruptcy attorney with Plunkett Cooney. Doug, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Do you see any potential objections to this bankruptcy or any potential obstacles to this sale going through?
I could foresee some appeals being taken. For example, the bondholders can make an argument that they're getting less than they should have. But it's a tremendous hurdle for them to win on appeal because really their only alternative is for a liquidation of the company. And I don't see that as a real possibility that an appellate court is going to overturn Judge Gerber's rulings.
So you don't foresee any real roadblocks to this?
No, the way things have gone, particularly with the Chrysler case, it seems as though the plan will sail through.
What is the mood like in Detroit right now? What's the local reaction to this news?
Well, those who have been affected by the bankruptcies obviously have a sense of despair that things aren't nearly as good as they once were, and particularly in the sense of retirees and the older workers, they're not getting the benefits of what they signed up for, which is really unfortunate. So there's not an awful lot of good news coming out of Detroit, and really what's compounding things, we're starting to see some other suppliers who've been impacted by the GM and Chrysler bankruptcies starting to file bankruptcies as well. So the trickle-down effect is just adding to the sense of despair here.
Doug Bernstein is a bankruptcy attorney with Plunkett Cooney. Doug, thank you so much for talking with us.
You're quite welcome, Stacey.
Oil prices are sliding this morning on worries that the global economy is slowing. Crude's less than $64 a barrel. That's less than half of what it was this time last year. And the markets are not too happy about that. London's FTSE is down 1.25%. Germany's DAX is off 1.5%. Tokyo's Nikkei index slid 1.33%. Global trade is expected to shrink by 10% this year. That will make life even harder for poor countries. Delegates at a major conference in Geneva are reviewing one possible remedy, aid for trade. From the European desk in London, Stephen Beard explains.
It's a kind of stimulus package for the developing world financed by rich countries. The US, the EU and Japan have already pledged $25 billion a year to pay for it. Keith Rockwell is with the World Trade Organization. He's at the Geneva conference. He says the money will be funneled specifically into helping third world exporters.
Maybe it's improving ports. Maybe it's a system which improves the Mekong River Delta transportation communication links. Maybe it's a highway project in Eastern Africa connecting countries north and south.
The head of the World Bank, Robert Zoellick, is at the conference and he's warning of the dangers of protectionism. He says more and more governments are trying to shelter their own workers from unemployment by restricting trade. Import taxes and other barriers have been rising. Zoellick says this could aggravate the global downturn. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Thrive and Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com.
The NBA Summer League kicks off this week. The event is meant to show off the basketball league's younger talent. There is a limit, though, to just how young that talent can be. NBA rules won't let players go pro until they're 19. Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad joins us to talk age limits. Hi, Diana. Any young players catch your attention in the draft this year?
this teenager from Spain named Ricky Rubio. He can shoot the lights out of the ball, pass the lights out of the ball. And the new rule of the NBA, instituted back in 2006, is that you can't come right out of high school anymore, which was Kobe Bryant and Tracy McGrady and Kevin Garnett and a lot of the great players of the last 10 years came right out of high school because that's what they were born to do. And Ricky Rubio just falls under it because he is going to turn 19 in the calendar year of his draft. But you know when he started playing professionally in Europe? He wasn't even 15.
Well, it seems like having a limit on age might be a good thing, giving the kids a chance to go to school. How is it potentially a bad thing to make them wait a little bit?
You know, it's fair enough if you're talking about an entire generation, a whole population of people. You know, kids should go to college. You know, I'm sure you and I believe that. But on the other hand, it would be an understatement to say that it takes an exceptional player to make it out of high school right into the pros, into the elite of the NBA. And we can name them on just a couple of hands, the exceptional players who over the last 10 years, we mentioned Kobe and Kevin Garnett. These guys didn't want to go to college. They wanted to make that money for their families before their knees got injured. You know, the lifespan in these leagues is very short.
Yeah, what is it? I know in football it's like 4 years or something like that.
Yeah, it's certainly under a decade. You can say that for sure. And, you know, what other profession? Are you only going to have 5, 6, 7 years to make all the money that you can possibly make?
Do the colleges benefit from having these kids there for a year? Is that maybe part of the motivation for the rule?
I think David Stern wants to prop up the NCAA. This is his training ground of all these players, and he wants to give a wink to all those top college programs to say, don't worry, we're not going to take the young kids. We're going to shove them right into the NCAA, and all you people can make millions of dollars. The coaches, as you know, most of them make more than the presidents of the universities.
How likely are they to raise the draft age to 20? Is that something that's really likely to happen or just something that's on the table?
They don't call David Stern the czar for nothing. When he wants to implement programs, it gets done. So I don't know that it'll happen this year, but I think that if Stern wants it done, it'll get done.
Marketplace Business of Sports commentator Diana Nyad. Thanks, Diana.
Stacey, my pleasure.
In Los Angeles, I'm Stacey Vanek Smith. Thanks for joining us.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.